Andre Wells in with us. You know him for his spectacular events, and he's going to give us some really good pointers on how to make this holiday season easy entertaining.
Well, and BizBash says he's one of the 35 top party planners in the country, so maybe we'll keep him around for the bat mitzvah talk.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Stay. Right, you're going to stay around afterwards. Now, we've talked to a lot of new restaurants about how hard it is to raise the funds and to get all your boxes checked, so to speak, to open up. And this group has started called Equity Eats, and it's a group of entrepreneurs, and they're helping restaurants raise money for these new ventures. So in with Equity Eats is Steve Lucas, and he's going to tell us how he's working this all out and how they're raising the money to make this happen. And he just happened to bring in with him one of the projects that they are working on. It's with none other than former pastry chef from Fiola Mare and Casa Luca, Tom Wellings. So we know him well. He's been in studio before. And Camilla Arango, who was with the Mandarin Oriental Washington. So no slouches here. So we'll find out all about what they're going to be doing in just a little bit.
Not until I finish talking.
Okay, so
all
start
right.
Talking.
Elizabeth Bennett. Wow. What a resume. She's a serious student of food and how much we grow and also how much we waste. And she founded an operation called Fruit Cycle that not only makes delicious snacks from excess local fruit, but it also, and supporting farmers, et cetera, but she also provides jobs for disadvantaged women. So she is a machine, man, and we're going to be talking to her soon. And if it's the holidays, and
yes,
it is, we're talking awesome pastries and desserts. We got Tom and Camilla in, but we also have Chef Levi Richard from the Ritz-Carlton Tyson Corner. I was going to say Tyson's Corner Center. It's at the Galleria, folks.
Yes.
I messed up.
Oh, my goodness.
But he's brought in a bunch of mouthwatering stuff that I actually helped carry in, so I'm ready to talk
about
that. And
apparently he's built this ginormous gingerbread house that we're going to find out about later in the show.
Everything's fattening.
And then lastly, it's time for some bubbles. Woo! I'm excited. It's New Year's Eve. And
she's not an alcoholic. She just likes bubbles.
I just
bubbles.
Like my bubbles.
All right. I want to make sure.
And so what? Why do we have to qualify it or clarify it? Anyway, so you all know Le Diplomat. It's one of the hottest restaurants on 14th Street. Steven Starrs opened it, what is it now? Almost 2 years? A year and a half ago?
Yeah.
And in with us today, we have Eric Siegelbaum. He is pouring a whole array of champagnes that are going to be served at Le Diplomat. And he just told me that right now you can get a glass of Krug for $35, which is amazing. Because
I'll take a quarter glass.
Okay. Right. I'm not coming to Le Diplomat with my husband. How about that? So let's start with you. Let's talk about the bubbles at Le Diplomat.
Absolutely. Well, you know, champagne for the holidays is wonderful, but champagne for every day is even better. So I spend a lot of time thinking about champagne. And
me both. I love champagne.
And what I love is that this is a very much a champagne kind of city. So we get along well. And the amount of champagne that's being consumed, and more importantly, the knowledge base and the requests of the guests that are coming in has really expanded. And so, you know, we have a lot of different styles of champagne, not just every budget, which makes everyone happy at the lower end, the mid end, and
why
of course,
looking at me?
The ultra luxury end, but also an accessibility of styles, whether it's large names that you're familiar with or small growers that you might never heard of with almost impronounceable names from fully dry with no residual sugar to fully sweet and everything in between. I think people underestimate how versatile champagne is. Guests sometimes are amazed when I suggest pairing a Blanc de Noir with a meat dish, but pre-dinner, post-dinner, and everything in between, champagne.
Are you surprised that he suggests that?
I'm laughing because I don't even know what the hell he's talking about.
Okay.
Whatever, dude.
Come see me.
But so you brought in a wide array today, and these are all being served at Le Diplomat. Tell us what you're pouring first.
Absolutely. The first champagne that I thought I would showcase for you is the Pure Paillard. Mm-hmm. It's a Grand Cru only, which means it comes from one of the delimited Grand Cru vineyards within Champagne. Pure Paillard is a fantastic grower. Grower champagnes are really hot for good reason. With growers, they don't spend money on marketing and they don't really spend money on the full-scale distribution. So you generally get much higher quality at the same price point. They are responsible for raising all of their grapes, for harvesting all their grapes, and for vinifying. So they don't sell it off. It's their baby start to finish. So
I feel like they're getting a lot of press these days.
With good reason.
Growers is very popular.
Absolutely. With very good reason, I would suggest. What I love about Pure Paillard is they're in the Boozy region, which is known for the red grapes. So most people talk about Chardonnay and Blanc de Blancs as some of the best grower expressions. But this is, Pure Paillard is actually Pinot Noir and Pinot Meunier. So the two red grapes of Champagne. And those grapes give so much character and dimension and really make it very food friendly, and yes, even red meat friendly, in fact.
Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you.
We're going to start sipping.
Well, I think we should all cheers.
Salud.
Happy holidays. Happy New Year. Let's get started. There we go.
Does everybody have one?
Yeah.
Oh, Elizabeth?
Everybody can share.
You want one? All right. So while you're on your way to inebriation, let's talk to Kathy Seidel. The Metropolitan Club in Boston area is legendary already. But let's go back a little, because you were born to the manor.
I was indeed.
They say. I mean,
I was
a family
indeed.
Of foodies.
Yes.
Your dad was behind some of the most famous chefs
yes,
today.
Yes,
my dad
was a banker and was a total foodie and supported all of the great chefs in Boston.
I mean, Todd English was just in here, and I didn't know.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, Todd's a very dear friend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Todd's amazing. I mean, I grew up basically being auditioned by all of these chefs in Boston
for
my dad's money, basically the bank's money, not really my dad's. So Jasper White and Lydia Shire and Todd English, really the uber chefs in Boston, all have my dad to thank for their careers.
But largely banks. I mean, we have a banker here in town, Bob Pincus, who was sort of the father of banks backing restaurants. But that's unusual.
It is very unusual.
And then you just said, the hell with it.
I always knew it was something that I wanted to get into. And I have a sister that owns a restaurant and has a very well-known restaurant in Boston for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was in the film business. I was a producer for many years. And I knew that food...
I'm looking for a script.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, I have a script.
Right.
I'll go right
that's
on very quickly.
Different. But food and film are my two passions. Mm-hmm. And so I did film the first half of my career, and now it's food.
Well, so let's talk about the restaurants that you've opened up in Boston and how you came down to the D.C. area as your first extension.
Well, I have five restaurants in Boston, one on a very beautiful island called Nantucket, called Met on Main. They all have Met in the name. I have a wonderful signature restaurant in the corner of Newbury and Dartmouth Street. And that's really our biggest. I know both
my
of you
wife
went
skipped
to school.
Classes there.
And there is a fellow that has been watching our growth over the years. And really, we were thinking about expanding across the country. And he works for Westfield Malls. And this felt like a really natural place for us to come in terms of the demographic, in terms of how easy it is to travel here. It's a lot easier to travel here than it is to Nantucket.
But you have another property that's already in a mall up in the Boston area.
We have
area,
two.
Right?
One is in the Natick Mall and one is in the Dedham Mall. And those are called the Met Bar and Grills, and those have burger bars inside.
Right. Yeah. You'll have a burger bar in this one.
There's no burger bar in here, but you will get a smattering of all of those international and continental burgers.
So let's talk about the concept. What is the concept of Met?
The concept of Met is a sophisticated, everyday cooking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very, very good food, very high quality ingredients, and it's stuff that it's burgers and beers and champagne. It is all
well,
of the,
champagne does go with burgers.
But yes, it does. Exactly. So it is. It happens in this Met Bethesda. We have a wood burning grill where we burn oak and hickory, and everything, every steak, every chop, every burger is cooked over that grill. And I must say, it really imparts such an enormously fantastic flavor.
Mm-hmm.
We have this 36-ounce bone-in ribeye that I actually had for dinner last night, and I was just...
You ate all 36 ounces?
Well, pretty close. Pretty close on a long bone. It was awesome.
So was it tomahawk?
Yeah, is it a tomahawk?
Well, yeah.
That's
hot right now.
You love tomahawk.
It's a really... Yeah, you'll see. It's fantastic. Really, really.
So how did you... As you were moving down to D.C., how did you sort of cater to the area as you were putting the menu together?
Well, I looked at a lot of other menus.
Mm-hmm.
And what's so interesting is that I think that, you know, the food vernacular... I mean, I like to think I try to keep my finger on the pulse of what people are eating.
Mm-hmm.
And many things overlap from Boston to the D.C. area.
Mm-hmm.
But clearly crab is the big thing, and it's so interesting how you can add on crab to anything, mac and cheese on top of a burger, and it's crazy what's happening. I've never seen more crab. We have a gorgeous burrata and arugula salad laced with crab. So you can do it or not do it, but I'm shocked at how many people really want crab. And not just one order, they'll do two.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
Bethesda, Maryland, home of gluttons. All right, so I got a question for you. You have, you know, the burger bar in the other restaurants, and not so much here. But you know, Bobby's Burger Palace opened there too. Is
right.
there competition there? Or
I think
really?
It's different. I mean, this is really a sit down,
right? That's what I was
sophisticated,
saying to him.
Beautiful restaurant. I mean, not that Bobby's isn't great, because I actually had a burger there last week. It's very good.
But it's a fast food
waitress service.
Oh, no,
I mean,
right.
I just, the whole experience is very different. We have a 42-seat bar with a martini tap.
Your bar is ginormous.
And you can get, you know, champagne, mojitos, anything you want, flavored up, coconut, caramelized pineapple, passion fruit. You know, we have 20 different flavors, and that martini bar is a centerpiece. That martini machine is a centerpiece to our bar, and it's really worth checking out.
That's very cool.
It's very cool.
Well, what's cool is that, and listen, Montgomery Mall is a very upscale center that malls are now, you know, if you think of the Forum at Caesar's Palace where you walk in there, and that's Vegas, but at the upscale fine dining restaurants you find there and other fine restaurants, you know, I mean, I've been going to Montgomery Mall since it opened.
Yeah, and, it's changed appreciably.
This is a real
well. Yeah. I think we should also mention that they've rebuilt this entire
they
area.
Have.
I mean, they opened the ArcLight Cinema, right. And they've totally revamped.
They did a $90 million renovation of the mall, and we're right across from the ArcLight Theater, which I think is fabulous for us. Mm-hmm. Also, they haven't had great food in that mall, so I think there's a big opportunity, and it's great for the neighborhood.
Well, they haven't had a restaurant like yours.
Exactly.
I mean, now
they have a great food court.
The food court's amazing, and they're bringing in really interesting concepts.
No question.
So it all helps. Like, it all works together.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well,
I just
want to
make sure that we do, but that everybody knows how to find you. If you don't know where Montgomery Mall is, it's on Democracy Boulevard in Bethesda. Can't miss it.
It is on the second floor, mezzanine level, right across from the ArcLight Theater.
Wow.
Well, they look forward to seeing
Malls
you.
Malls have changed. All right, Kathy, thanks so much. Thank you. This is
David and Nikki Nels with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be right back.
The traditional light bulb, a groundbreaking invention in 1879. It's time we switch to longer-lasting Energy Star light bulbs. They're more efficient than the old bulbs, like a text message is more efficient than a carrier pigeon. And they cut down on our energy costs. Because in our own groundbreaking age, we deserve a light bulb that saves us some cash. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
You're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Stop copying me. Mom, tell her to stop copying me.
Mom, tell her to stop talking me.
Kids will spend 10 minutes copying everything their sibling says.
You're such a doofus.
How about 2 minutes to brush their teeth? Brushing for 2 minutes now can save your child from severe tooth pain later. For fun 2-minute videos to watch while brushing, visit 2min2x.org. 2 minutes twice a day. They have the time.
Mom!
A message from the Partnership for Healthy Mouths, Healthy Lives, and the Ad Council.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
Hey, everybody. We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nels, and I am sitting next to the man. Andre Wells is the party planner's event planner. I shouldn't even just say party. You are the planner of all planners. And so says David Adler Bizbash, right?
You're too kind.
I
thank
know
you.
David.
Yeah.
He doesn't give out accolades lightly.
He's a good guy.
Right. So let's get into it because, you know, it's the biggest party of the year is coming. Yeah. And my first question for you, I mean, I know you've done a lot of high societies. You've done about 4,000 events. Did I read that right?
Yes. You know, I've had my business for about 11 years.
You don't look tired. You look
I look fresh still.
Thank
you.
Is it too late for somebody who's done nothing, whether it's for two people or you want to invite 20 over, is it too late to really get going for New Year's?
No, it's not. Absolutely. I mean, you can do anything and you still have a lot of time. I always tell people you have to first find your style of entertaining. You know, people just like the invite. You know, you have to be real careful with New Year's Eve because sometimes I call it amateur night.
Right.
But, you know, people just want to go to a good party, whether it be a good dinner or a big dancing party or a small intimate party at home. They just want to celebrate the new year.
Well, what are some things when you're working? I mean, you work with a wide range of people with a wide range of budgets. So when people sit down with you and say, you know, I want something really posh, but, you know, I want, you know, caviar on a Budweiser budget. How do you help them make it sophisticated without all the extra costs? What are some little tips that you can sort of help us with?
So what I try to do is have people think about different times that they can start things, you know. Mm-hmm. So if you start your New Year's Eve party at 11 o'clock, no one's expecting a really full meal, right?
Right.
You could do a beautiful
in my house.
You could do a really beautiful champagne bar. You could have different little accoutrements from edible flowers to, you know, pomegranate seeds.
Which you brought in today.
Yeah,
you brought in a whole bunch of stuff today.
Yeah, just a little, you know, fun stuff. And then if you did something that late, you can do like all past hors d'oeuvres, mm-hmm. which, you know, is definitely less expensive than a buffet of, you know,
right.
tenderloin and grilled shrimp, et cetera. So, you know, we start there,
mm-hmm.
and then we say, hey, you know, if you have ornaments left over from the holidays, take them down, fill, you know, glass vessels and vases just full of your ornaments, you know, and that's your decor there.
Oh, fun. That's a good idea.
And then also just take some of your tree and cut it and put it in, you know, a simple, even a drinking glass,
mm-hmm.
and there you have your arrangement. So your multi-purpose, you know, all of these things.
And recycling.
Yeah, recycling.
Elizabeth Bennett is all perked up over there.
She's a big recycler.
So what about on the entertainment side? Because, mm-hmm. you know, we've been to some parties that are great where people tend really know each other. It's a crowd of people that know each other. It's not a problem because they're yapping and that's all fine.
Unless, of course, you're there.
Yeah, I hate people.
He doesn't like it.
No, I mean, I like it. We were at one last night. I was very social. I just was ready
to go
home.
For about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway.
But I mean, you know, what do you do for people? What's the suggestion for people when they've got a mix of folks who may not know each other?
So definitely live entertainment is always great. You know, get two or three people. If you have a piano and a bass player, or, you know, have someone bring in a keyboard. Live entertainment is, I always recommend that. You know, and then, you know, next time, David, when you're somewhere and you see someone in a room at a party, go over and just start talking to them.
No, I'm not that much of a curmudgeon, and I'm not a shutdown. I just, you know.
Yeah. So, and then, of course,
we can debate that after the show.
Okay.
We're not going to take up your time.
The playlist.
Party
behavior. Yeah, you can create a playlist.
I was going to say, you can be creative with an iPhone at this point.
But people love live music, and it's not that, you know, common to have it at your home, so.
All right, let me ask you about the thing. And the thing is karaoke. Do people, is that
love
out
it.
In?
That is not
it,
my thing, just so we're totally clear.
Karaoke is in. You're talking about getting people engaged. That mm-hmm. does. Because if you don't get up and perform, you're cracking up at the people who are performing.
So that's still cool to do and not dorky.
Absolutely. You want to do, you know, interactive stuff. And there are some cool things now, you know, from, you know, Sting to Beyonce, you know, so... It's some fun stuff.
I think I look a lot like that.
And group karaoke is big. You know, you get up with a group. It's always a group.
What are some of the most outlandish things that people ask you to do? Is there some...
like that you can talk about on the radio.
Have some people come to you for some of the events and said, you know, carte blanche, let's go crazy. What are some of the crazy things that you're like, I can't believe I'm really doing this?
You know, bringing an elephant into a cocktail reception.
Mm.
You know, doing, we turned a garage into a big party, which was great because I don't feel like that was so outlandish.
You mean like a parking garage?
Yeah, a parking garage into
That's cool.
a big
oh my
party.
God.
The weather's
you know,
right. Absolutely. That's smart.
Absolutely. Even if it's not, you just bring in portable heaters. You know, for us, and especially nowadays, it's about the whole, you know, experience. The
mm-hmm.
experience. So I think people are looking for, you know, this experience. And if it's in a cool parking lot that they pass every day on their way to work and now it's all decked out and glammed out for this party, it's like
right.
cool. Right. It somehow becomes really cool.
So
know?
Can people last minute you? I mean if people
Absolutely.
Now, so we only have a couple more seconds. Tell people how to find you so that if they're desperate, like I probably will be.
All right. Well you can follow us on Instagram at mm-hmm. Events Andre Wells. You can Google us Andre Wells, Events by Andre Wells.
You can find him on Facebook. I've seen you everywhere. You're all over the place.
Yeah. We will come. It's not last minute. We can do your party if you come to us on Wednesday, and New Year's Eve is Thursday.
Okay, great.
All right, Andre.
Thank you.
You probably saved my life this New Year's.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks very much. All right, so Steve Lucas, Equity Eats. Let's talk about Equity Eats. It's a really novel way of helping restaurants, kind of in an atypical, untraditional way, of generate the funding they need to get up and running when they don't have a banker or some, you know, high net worth individual that wants to drop a couple of million on a restaurant. Fair enough.
Absolutely. I mean, that's how we got in this business. But thank you for having us this morning. And I wanted to just add that at our launch party last month, we did something that Andre might appreciate. We gave away live lobsters to promote a lobster.
Were they housebroken?
Well, we had you know, the guys who harvest the lobsters directly, you know, so that was our little, you know, touch.
Explain what Equity Eats is, because I think some people don't really understand the whole concept.
Sure. So Equity Eats, when I say it's a crowdfunding platform, people think Kickstarter.
Right.
But there's a huge difference between us and Kickstarter in that people can actually invest in new businesses and they'll see benefits from that, financial benefits, as the restaurant is successful.
Mm-hmm.
What we also do is we stay involved with entrepreneurs like Tom and Camilla are here with me today. We'll stay involved with our entrepreneurs to make sure that, you know, operationally they're efficient and they have the support they need. And we're building technologies to help bridge existing services,
mm-hmm.
but also we're going to have software to help facilitate communication between the entrepreneur and the investor. And this has often been, you know, for an investor, a very frustrating experience because they don't hear about, you know, how the restaurant's doing or they don't understand where they're investing.
So you keep the communication open between the investor and the investee.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so that's one of the ways we help entrepreneurs and investors. You know, people like Tom and Camilla who want to open a new business, they don't necessarily want to get into the business details. These are artisans, you know, who mm-hmm. want to build a great business. But
so what are you saying? You're saying they're not good with money? That's what it sounds like you're saying.
No, I'm just saying that I know for sure that they're amazing bakers. Mm-hmm. But we have, you know, people in this business are creative professionals.
Mm-hmm.
Think like artists who really want to work on their craft. They want to build the best restaurants. We're here to help with the business side of
it. Plus, they may not have the connections. And listen, you were at Fiola. But
and she was at the Mandarin. I mean, it's not like
right.
these people
it
don't have connections.
It doesn't mean that some rich, you know, some oil tycoon is going to walk in and go, Tom, I like you, boy. You know, here's $10 million. Go do something with it. It doesn't happen that way. So let's talk to Tom and Camilla. How did you find Equity Eats? And
how did you find each other?
Well, wait a minute.
Start there.
Wait. But the other question is, did you go to them with this an idea or did you have to have a business plan all worked out?
Actually, Camilla met one of the members of Equity Eats at work, where she's working currently, and they started talking about, you know, the idea of our bakery and things like that. But
you two had already discussed having a bakery.
Oh yeah,
yes.
For years. For years.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been together for 10 years. We met as bakers.
Mm-hmm.
We met at the Ritz-Carlton in Tyson's Corner.
Oh.
Where we were actually working together.
It's like a regular love nest.
I know.
Full circle.
It is. So we met there and our goal and dream had always been to open our own bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And through Johan and Steven at Equity Eats, we're finally seeing that goal and dream attainable.
So what is it about your bakery? What's the concept of the bakery?
It's Bluebird Bakery, and it's going to be, we want to do very approachable European-based pastries,
mm-hmm.
Something DC doesn't really have a lot of,
no.
Things like croissants and Queen Amon and Perry Brass, which we brought some today, and
bless you, my son.
Right.
And also we're going to have, you know, coming out of the oven in the afternoon.
Because that's something that is sorely lacking in D.C.
Yeah.
There was, like, in the early 90s, you know, there was a couple places that started, like Marvelous Market with breads.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now it's just sort of died a little bit.
So we want to have a place that's very embedded in a neighborhood, very
mm-hmm.
neighborhood place with great coffee and excellent pastries.
You know. All right, so you are two really name bakers, home run hitters, with a great track record at great restaurants and a terrific hotel. We actually did a show from there recently.
We did.
and you go to Steve Lucas, and Steve, what's the process? You say, this is it. I got to help these guys. Mm-hmm. What happens?
That's a very great question.
That's the only kind I ask.
That's not what Nikki said.
But no, hey, it's not. No, that's okay. Not. You took the words right out of my mouth.
She's
go
just
ahead.
Mean by nature.
So the process from there, I mean, right now as a startup, so we just launched here in November in Washington, D.C. We chose this city over many others. Right now, the process is much more hands-on, working directly with Tom and Camilla. They're sort of exemplar restaurateurs that we want to work with. People who are great at their craft, have a great concept, have something the city needs, mm-hmm. and you know we want to connect them with investors. We want investors to see these are great businesses, and that's I think where we help is we can really sit with them and work on work through best practices of putting your business plan together, doing financial projections.
Well, so how much of it is it being able to say, well, Tom was with Fabio Trabocchi, and you probably remember his desserts, and anybody who's ever eaten at the Mandarin Oriental blew their mind on the desserts, that sort of thing, versus somebody who may be very talented but doesn't have a following or a name or a rep to go on?
Well, I think, not everyone on Equity Eats is going to be Tom and Camilla. And that's the reality. I mean, restaurants are one...
But you are... The four projects that have been announced by you have been people who do have names in this city.
Yeah.
You're not working with people that nobody knows.
Right. But we also are working with a range of, younger entrepreneurs, like those behind, Albright Special, very talented, younger... And Tom and Camilla are a little more seasoned. We picked these different concepts for, to look at a variety of different businesses and how the businesses would operate, but also different personalities and different specialties.
So now where are you guys in the process right now?
We're in the process of fundraising right now.
Okay. So do you have a location in mind?
We have a location. We're looking at Rhode Island and 11th. It's mm-hmm. about a block mm-hmm. off of Logan Circle.
Mm-hmm.
And
you plan on doing everything on premise?
Everything on premise, yes. Mm-hmm.
Everything will be homemade, baked daily, mm-hmm. fresh, baked from scratch, using the best ingredients we can get our hands on.
Okay, great.
And one more thing. So David's question about how much is it their reputation. Part of what we learned is that people want to try the food. And so Bluebird Bakery is actually going to do a pop-up here in January and February. I don't know if you guys want to talk about that.
We're going to take a good break,
but then you can tell everybody about that. Cool. Okay. Awesome. All right. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We'll be back in just a sec.
Be inspired by the mission of the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society on Saturday, March 28th, 2015, at the annual Leukemia Ball, presented by Pharma. One of D.C.'s largest and most anticipated non-political black tie galas, the Leukemia Ball brings together influential businessmen and women for the fight against blood cancer. Featuring a world-class silent auction with travel packages from American Airlines and a chance to win one of two Mercedes-Benz automobiles, the ball raises funds for life-saving cancer research and patient programs provided by LLS. With a comedic performance by Jim Gaffigan and music by Michael Cavanaugh, 2,000 guests will enjoy a night to remember. There are 20,000 people in the D.C. metro region living with leukemia, lymphoma, or myeloma. Help the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society cure blood cancer by attending this not-to-be-missed event. For sponsorship information or to purchase a raffle ticket, visit www.leukemiaball.org. That's leukemiaball.org.
Did you know that birthday parties help build confidence in kids?
Yeah. Did you know that giving kids less sugar before bedtime helps them sleep better?
Oh, totally. Did you know that friendly kids have more friends?
Everybody knows that.
Hey, guys, did you know that most people think they're using the right car seat for their kid, but they're not?
I didn't know that.
Parents who really know it all know for sure that their child is in the right car seat at the right age and size. Visit safercar.gov/the right seat to make sure your child is protected. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
GovEvents.com is your one-stop shop for government and military events worldwide. With hundreds of event organizers posting their government and military-related conferences, trade shows, expos, webcasts, and more, you'll save time and energy using GovEvents to find events to attend, exhibit, or sponsor. Search for government and military events by date, location, keyword, organizer, or focus. It's free, so join today. GovEvents.com. That's GovEvents.com.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis, and we're talking about Equity Eats, which is a great new kind of atypical, non-traditional way for entrepreneurs who want to start a restaurant to get funding and not have a rich daddy or a fat cat in the closet, trapped in the closet, tied up, taking all his money. So I got my first question, Steve, real quick, is, so I invest. What's my return? What could I get out of it?
So for investors, this is actually a great opportunity. People that have wanted to invest in restaurants or are foodies and have some disposable income they want to invest, it's a great opportunity because our entrepreneurs agree to give a preferred return to their investors. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking out an expensive, you know, loan where they're going to have to pay that back every month, they'll actually, you know, get investors to invest in their concept. Once there's returns and there's profits each year, those are distributed directly to investors first. And there's a preferred return on that. So even if the, you know, so the investors in Bluebird Bakery will own 49% of the business and the entrepreneurs will retain 51%. Whenever they're being, when they're paying back their investors, the investors actually get paid back 80% of the profits.
What do you get?
So Equity Eats actually does not get paid until the investors are paid back an amount equal to what they've invested. So once at that point, we'll take a percentage of the investors' take. But we tried to align our incentives with the entrepreneurs and investors. Number one priority is paying back investors. Number two priority is to incentivize the entrepreneurs. And three, Equity Eats, you know, for us to be there long term and to actually make an impact.
It's a great thing. So, Tom and Camilla, good luck. I see that you're raising money. I looked online. It's happening. That's good. Yeah. Tell everybody how to find Equity Eats online.
So Equity Eats, we're equityeats.com. Check out our investment opportunities. We have great videos produced by The Collaborative. It's a local business.
And wait, can we just talk quickly?
Sure.
The pop-up. What are you guys doing? Tell us.
January 25th at After Peacock Room in Georgetown.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to have a pop-up there in the morning from about 8 a.m. until about 11:30.
Just one day?
One day for now, and then we're going to probably do a few more after that.
All right, guys, good luck.
Good luck. Very excited.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you for having us. So let's slide Elizabeth Bennett in here.
No. First, we're going to hear about the champagne. Hello.
All right, so, Eric, what do you got next?
So next, I poured the Lanson White Label Sec. Lanson is a négociant, which means rather than a grower, they grow some of their grapes, but they also buy some.
But I feel like this is a very hot... bubbly right now. I'm seeing it in a lot of places.
Well, you know, and with good reason. It's the category that has really come from nowhere. So in terms of sec, you're talking about slightly more finishing residual sugar than a brut, which is the most popular style. But it's not at the point where you actually really feel the sweetness. But what that sugar really does is give it much more roundness and much more richness of texture. And for a sommelier, that's a dream in terms of pairing. This is a champagne that I pair with our mushroom tart, for instance, which is absolutely laced with truffle and wonderful mushroom notes. It goes very well with pâté de campagne, with the juniper and mace and those wonderful spices.
And what is that that you have over there that you've been hoarding over on that side? No, not that.
Oh, the Lobsteria, yes.
Yes.
Champagne and seafood is a classic pairing, and our chef, Mike Apt, put together a little Lobsteriette topped with caviar. Because lobster, champagne, caviar, they all really work well together, and certainly with this champagne as well.
Thank you.
Cool. All right. So, Elizabeth Bennett, you're beyond a foodie. All right. I'm just going to tell you,
he is so impressed with you. He has not been able to stop talking
about
you. First
of all, I realized after reading your bio, you're way smarter than I am, which hurts. But why don't you talk about your background briefly and how Fruit Cycle got started, because it's a pretty amazing story.
Sure. So I think what you're referring to is the fact that I have a master's degree in food anthropology.
Damn you.
What's your master's in?
History.
Civil War stuff or something?
Well, at least I can spell Civil War. Thank you. Go ahead.
So I have a strong background, I guess, in sustainable food issues and obviously a passion for those. And so Fruit Cycle came out of that. And what Fruit Cycle is a social enterprise that makes delicious snacks out of local excess fruit that would otherwise go to waste. So we're supporting small farmers, we're reducing food waste. And then the other half of my mission is to also hire women who've been formerly incarcerated or homeless. And sort of that came
out
of...
like a DC Central kitchen.
A little bit. I'm definitely
very, very
inspired.
But I mean, that's great.
Yeah. Robert Egger is one of my personal heroes. I love the work that DC Central Kitchen is doing.
Well, so how did you do this? I mean, how did you start and make it happen?
So I had the idea about a year ago while visiting a local pick your own peach orchard. And I was just astonished by the thousands of pounds of local, delicious, nutritious fruit that I saw going to waste.
All on the ground.
Mm-hmm. You know, when we have so many Americans, 1 in 6 going hungry. And there's just something very wrong with that. And actually, the statistics on food waste are that every day in this country, we waste enough food to fill the Rose Bowl.
Right, exactly.
It's astonishing.
To feed everybody.
Exactly. So I had the idea. I think it took me a little time to get to the product that I'm currently launched with, which was cinnamon apple chips. But I sort of thought that you could maybe get that fruit before it fell on the ground or before it rotted. while it was still good, turn it into a shelf-stable product, and then also use that opportunity to create jobs.
So do you go to a place like the Homestead Farm out in Poolsville is one of those go-pick-your-own places, and it's a real farm, too. But we go out there and pick apples every year.
And tomatoes and vegetables.
Yeah, stuff all over the ground.
But there's stuff all over the ground.
So how do you, what's the model, really?
So there's a couple different things. I did start with a pick-your-own orchard. That's where the idea came from. They do have a lot of excess fruit, as you mentioned.
And how do they work with you? Do they donate it?
So I actually pay a small amount, but an amount to them, because I think farming is a terribly difficult job, and I want
to make money.
Give back to them. Yeah, definitely. So I've worked with pick-your-own orchards where I've actually gone out and I've gleaned the fruit myself. And then now it's sort of past that season, really. So I'm working directly with small farmers who have storage capability, but I'm buying their second. So again, the fruit that they might not otherwise sell.
Okay.
And then what happens? I mean, where do you take it and what do you do with it?
So I take it to Mess Hall, which is DC's newest commercial kitchen incubator. It just opened itself about a month ago, a little over a month, 2 months maybe. So it's a shared commercial kitchen space. So I take it there. I have one employee. We, you know, wash, chop, prep the apples, dehydrate them, package them, and then I take them to
stores. And how did you come up with that specific as your initial product?
Well, I think looking at the timing, obviously apples are prevalent right now. They also have a really long storage. If you get them, you can keep them for a really long time. And I just thought there's a demand for healthy local snacks.
So then what's the next step? So now you sell them?
I do, yes. So I'm in six stores currently.
Mm-hmm.
Which stores?
Glenn's Garden Market in DuPont.
She's at Chevy Chase Market.
Thanks to Nikki, I'm at Chevy Chase Supermarket.
I put her in touch with them. And I'm going to put her in touch with River Falls.
She's pretty fruity.
I like putting people together. I think what you're doing is
River
so fantastic.
River Falls Market is perfect for her.
Yeah.
In Potomac. God, this is so cool.
So now how do you go about bringing in the people to help you? How do you hire?
So I've worked with a couple of local nonprofits. My current employee, Elaine, came to me from a great organization called Together We Bake, based out of Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
It's a, I think, 8-week training program, again, working with the population of women that I'm interested in working with. And they make amazing cookies and granola. And I really love the program. It's great. And then the other organization is In Street Village.
Okay.
Here in D.C.
So how do you figure you're going to scale up?
Right. What is the next step? How do you do that?
There are a few next steps. So I can scale up within the existing space by just adding more dehydrators and adding more staff. And then beyond that, I'll be adding new products next year with the growing season. And then eventually.
And what are the products? What are you thinking?
It's a great question. There's all sorts of possibilities, whether it's kale chips or peach chutney, or I have a whole long list, and I'm definitely spending Christmas break sort of experimenting.
So I guess the other question is your network of farmers. I mean, are you literally in the car out visiting somebody in Madison, Virginia, saying, hey, you've got all this waste, help me out and I'll buy it? And
have you talked to the people at Fresh Farm?
I've started having conversations with them, yeah.
That's an ideal place.
Because you should talk with them, because, I mean, their reach is so vast.
Right, definitely.
And it just seems like a terrific symbiotic relationship.
The other guy is Jim McWhirter.
Oh, yeah.
You should talk to at Coastal Sunbelt.
That's another way to go, too.
Yeah, we're doing our little referral service.
We're putting people together.
But, I mean, this is a great idea. And the fact that you take homeless people and help them, you know, essentially renovate their lives is terrific. It's a great model. So if anybody's listening and they want to find out about Fruit Cycle, they can either read the list or you can tell them.
Right.
Right.
So is there anything that you want people to really know? Like, is there a way that people can help you or make the business grow a little faster?
Obviously, buying the products would be a great help. So you can do that online at www.thefruitcycle.com.
So you brought in some of the chips today, but you also brought in some jams, right?
Apple butter.
Okay,
so that's not in stores yet, but you can email me or it's at the markets that I'm doing.
Which markets are you at?
Right now, there's a pop-up at Union Market through Mess Hall that's happening through next weekend.
Right, Tiffany McIsaac is doing that.
Exactly,
too. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, and I think you should have a talk with Steve Lucas over there, too.
I know. I feel like
that would make some sense, I think. This is great. Elizabeth, you
thanks
go,
so
girl.
Much. Yeah,
I like
it's very
it.
Exciting.
A lot.
Thank you so much.
So now we're going to talk pastries again. How could we? Chef, come on down. Chef Levi Richard is the pastry chef at the Ritz-Carlton Tyson's Corner, a property I know very well because it's right near my office.
Yeah.
My
awesome.
My massage central.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the holidays, man. So what else would we want to talk about except all that fattening, cream-filled sugar?
No. I want to talk about the gingerbread house.
All right, talk about the gingerbread
house. We have a huge gingerbread house in the arrival lobby of our hotel.
Mm-hmm.
We spent about 200 hours working on it.
Mm-hmm.
We start in October. Actually, we start in August with the planning, and then actually the gingerbread starts being made in October.
So what does it look like?
So it's a a house? Like it's a
no, but you know, sometimes people do like the White House or something like that. So went with a house?
We just went with the house. So we
okay. Not to downplay what you're doing.
Okay.
Just a house.
So we wanted to have kind of frozen-ish. So it's very blue and dark. It's very different from what.
I thought it would be sort of Shrek-ish.
Don't
you have a gingerbread architect?
No. it's very different from the candy from the house that we did last year. So mm-hmm. it's similar in size and proportion, but the design is much more interesting.
And how many people are involved? First of all, who's the architect? How does it work? Do you design it and then?
I actually have never been to Home Depot so many times as I did between October and
they sell gingerbread at Home Depot.
But just buying plywood and buying saws and learning how to use a saw, which is all things that were new to me.
I'm glad you found out. They're having trouble delivering new refrigerators, everybody.
I have 8 people on my team, so it's 9 of us total that started working on it starting in October.
Right.
And what does it take? I mean, how much flour? How much sugar?
It was about 450 pounds of powdered sugar. I think it was like 400 pounds of egg whites.
Wow.
It was just, I think brown sugar was about 350
pounds. This is the Ritz-Carlton
people. 100 pounds of eggs.
That's right. It's their pleasure to drive you nuts with sugar.
Well, let's
enormous amount of ingredients.
Now, you brought in a bunch of lovely desserts today. Tell us what you brought in.
So I brought in our hotel signature cookie, which is a blueberry and white chocolate.
That sounds like such an unsignature kind of cookie. How did a blueberry and white chocolate
because
cookie...
Because you haven't had it yet. So
right.
You should have it.
I know, well, my mouth is
and
full
then
of lobster.
And you tell me why it's a signature cookie.
She can be such a snot, can't
right.
she?
So, but it's an interesting... You know, most people are like our chocolate chip or an oatmeal. This is a really interesting
I shall now try it,
our chocolate chip cookie is really good, but a chocolate chip cookie you can get everywhere.
Everybody
and we also have
cookies.
Snickerdoodle and peanut butter is really good, but...
Oh, my God.
It's a very...
Okay.
Exactly. Thank you. This is why it's signature.
Oh. Is this the reaction you get?
So... and then I also brought samples of the 2 desserts that we will be featuring on our Christmas menu mm-hmm. in Entice, the lounge.
Right.
Which is the black pepper panna cotta with port roasted figs and gingerbread bread pudding. So it's a little different from a normal bread pudding. We make a gingerbread cake and then we use creme brulee mix. We soak the gingerbread with creme brulee and then we bake
it. So it's super low calorie.
These cookies
super
are
low
insane,
calorie. But it's
man.
A very. It's a very, like, I feel like it's a very holiday, very, like, homey, comforting.
Absolutely.
Which is,
now, that's just available Christmas.
It's only
day.
Available on Christmas, those two.
Yes.
The cookies we have always.
Okay, wait. We have to take a quick break. We're going to come back to you.
I got
to
eat this cookie.
This is David and Nikki and Alice with Foodie and the Beast. There is champagne and there is pastries. And this is a great way to ring in the new year. We'll be back in just a sec.
Earn money while carpooling on the new 95 Express Lanes. With an Easy Pass Flex, all carpools with 3 or more occupants can travel toll-free on the new 95 Express Lanes. Plus, through pool rewards, qualified commuters who currently drive alone and form or join a new carpool may receive up to $230 in cash when using the 95 Express Lanes. Qualified van pools receive $200 per month. Some restrictions apply. CommuterConnections.org.
It's the end of the year, and federal employees are thinking about where to contribute for this year's combined federal campaign. This year, consider donating to the Capital Area Food Bank, a local charity that distributes 42 million pounds of food each year to the greater Washington, D.C. community through its network of 500 food assistance partners and its direct food distribution programs. Help the Capital Area Food Bank empower the community to take action to solve hunger. Visit CapitalAreaFoodBank.org. That's CapitalAreaFoodBank.org.
This is Mark Amtower. If you're looking for cost-effective and efficient methods for marketing your products or services to the government or to other government contractors, look to LinkedIn. There are over 400,000 members in the D.C. area and more than 92 million nationwide, but only a small percentage actually use it well. I can show you how to leverage LinkedIn in ways that support your marketing, sales, and business development efforts. I do this for large and small companies, and I can do it for you. Drop me a line at mark@federaldirect.net.
When you hear the Salvation Army bells this Christmas, know you are doing the most good to feed and to shelter your neighbors.
After having no place to go, the Salvation Army took me in. The Salvation Army is helping me turn my life around.
When you hear our bells this holiday season, please support the Salvation Army's mission to feed and shelter our neighbors in D.C., Maryland, and Northern Virginia.
We are the Salvation Army of the National Capital Area, doing the most good.
Dogs.
Hey, we're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. I am pounding down these cookies.
Mm-hmm.
that Chef Levi Richard has made out at the Ritz-Carlton Tyson's Corner Center? The God, I keep doing that. The Galleria.
I know.
It's a Galleria.
I'm about to kill you.
It's a Galleria. Abba, you're going to kill me, aren't you? Okay. So before we get back to the chef, I just want to thank the folks that support the show. If you're not on this list, Iman Butler, you should be. Gaylord Hotel, the American Land Board, the Virginia Wine Board, our friends at the Mandarin Oriental Washington, the Hyatt Regency Chesapeake Bay, thanks very much for supporting the show. So,
absolutely.
Chef.
So let's talk about what's going on, because the Ritz-Carlton at Tyson's is sort of this epicenter of activity during the holidays. Let's talk about, I know you had a lot of classes and teas.
Yeah, so it's really amazing how we've really become like the social center of Tyson's Corner, especially now with Tyson's Corner, like so much growth and development having.
Like the metro and everything, right.
So we have a lot, we do gingerbread classes for kids during the holidays, as well as princess and nutcracker teas. And then we also do chocolate Easter egg decorating classes at Easter time and pumpkin carving classes. There's lots of events.
What's a nutcracker tea?
So we have.
I did it with Tess when she was little.
So
it's so sweet.
We have. So it's, it could be, it's you and your family and your kids, and you come
in. I was
going
to say something about nutcracker, but.
So we do a tea service for them, and we have dancers and a small show that goes on.
Really?
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We take pictures. It's a really wonderful tradition that a lot of families have chosen.
Well, it is the Ritz-Carlton, as she said.
Now, what do you guys have going on for New Year's Eve?
So on New Year's Eve, we open up our lounge. So it's like just like this really great sort of very comfortable bar lounge that we have. So we do have a minimum of, it's $100 per person after 9 p.m. But it's fantastic. We have our jazz
performer. If we were to take Andre's suggestions, after 9 p.m., maybe you wouldn't be expecting dinner, but maybe just snacks, right? Okay.
Yeah, so you get a complimentary glass of champagne at midnight. Our jazz singer will be there all evening. It's a really fantastic.
Some live music,
yes,
as we discussed earlier.
Do you guys need a comedian?
No.
I'm available.
Maybe next year.
Okay. All right, thanks.
What kind of...
I work blue. No.
Okay. What kind of pastries can we expect? Are you already in the creative process for that?
So we have, like, during wintertime, I feel like, for me, wintertime is a lot of, like, spices and dried fruit and very comforting food. Mm-hmm. So that's really what our menu is reflecting dessert-wise in Thai. So, like, we will have the panna cotta and the gingerbread pudding, but we also have, like, warm chocolate cake, and we have a phenomenal sticky toffee pudding with butter pecan ice cream.
Oh, my God, that sounds so good.
It sounds like they give you a lot of opportunity to play.
They do. I'm very fortunate in that regard.
Right. It sounds really incredible.
So we, especially, like I was saying, especially during the holidays, like, to me, Christmas is not so much peppermint. It's a lot more about, like, dried fruit and slow-cooking things.
Well, let's talk in the broader sense, because one of the things that the Ritz-Carlton at Tyson's Corner is really a home run for is staycations. I mean, you do get a lot of people who come from out of town, but a lot of local people will go there and spend 2-3 days, massages, great food.
Because you have a great spa.
Shopping, yeah. All of that.
We have a phenomenal spa. We're connected to the mall or the Galleria.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really great, like, weekend.
Because you can go shopping.
Yeah.
You know.
You mean at Neiman's or Saks or
Prada or...
So, well, here's my question. Is it... You may
Chanel.
Not know. Is the hotel booked up
Louis
for
Vuitton.
New Year's?
Or... I don't know.
The hotel is not booked up for New Year's, so we do have some room if you are still looking for a place to go.
Unless Nikki throws me out, I have somewhere to stay. But it is a great spot. We did a couple staycations.
Yeah.
It was a blast.
Beautiful.
All right, Chef, thanks.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you
very
much.
Great cookies. All right, let's get back to Eric Siegelbaum from Le Diplomat. Eric, does all champagne have to be expensive to be good? And that's not that cheap thing on me. I'm just curious.
Yes, it is. It's a cheap thing.
Champagne, I'm not talking about Cava, I'm not talking about, but, you know, Prosecco, I'm talking about champagne from France. Does
champagne
it have to
is only from France.
I know that. That much I know. I'm asking, does it always have to be very expensive to be good?
Well, certainly not. Champagne is a luxury good. It's become a luxury commodity item. And there comes a point with anything, as it becomes more a symbol of luxury, that the price will increase. And in some regards, the price associated with champagne, with some champagnes, I should say, can be excessive over the value of the quality of
but
the juice.
But that's marketing, right?
But
it's
that's,
about their
but that's,
marketing budgets.
That's exactly it. What you're paying for there is marketing. The thing about champagne, what makes it so unique, is if you look at the representative amount of production in the world of wine, champagne is a relatively tiny region with a very small output if you compare it to, you know, California or Italy, or even just other regions within France. So you have something that's highly unique, done in a very protected, very specific way that really can't be replicated anywhere else.
So
and that drives the
degree.
Price. So for the most part, it is justified. But that being said, and this is why growers are so popular, is that you can really find some great value in champagne from Champagne, France. Like proper champagne needn't be expensive to be great. But I feel like with champagne more than other luxury goods, as the tiers get more expensive, it's justified in correlation to the price.
Well, how hard is it for you in your position at Le Diplomat to sort of sell these brands that people may not be familiar with? Because I think people think when it comes to champagne that you have to do the ones that everybody knows. So how do you sell, like, as I said, I feel like in the food world, right, growers is becoming very popular, but I don't know how much everybody else knows about that. So how do you educate people who come in on a more interesting bottle?
Well, you know, I have an advantage of the credibility of a title as a sommelier.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't have that.
Thank you, royalty
for a minute. Yes. Your Majesty.
To a lot of things, most notably recently the movie Somme, that title is something that people respect a lot more in terms of 20 years ago, a sommelier was someone that would make you feel like you didn't know anything, make you spend way more money than you wanted, mm-hmm. and make the whole situation uncomfortable. And my role as a sommelier is to make dining and, more importantly, wine approachable and comfortable. I mean, it's just moldy grape juice when all is said and done.
I'm just thinking of a restaurant in Florence when you...
Exactly. So, you know, people have all had that experience. So now that there's a bit more credibility to the title, that our guests realize that a sommelier really just cares about your happiness. And frankly, I don't think I've ever in my life sold a bottle of wine. I'm a matchmaker. I want to match your desires, including price point, including food, to what you want. Sure, there's a financial transaction associated with it, but I'm going to ask you questions about the style of what you like, about what you're looking for. And if the case of what you're looking for is braggability, that everybody sees you're drinking a very well-marketed bottle, or if what you're looking for is something unique that you've never been exposed to before, mm-hmm. I'm going to give that to you, whatever
right,
it is that you want.
And you wouldn't have it at Le Diplomat, but is there such a thing in this world as a crappy champagne?
Ooh, that sounds like a wonderfully entrapping question.
No, you don't have to... You don't have to name it Eric Siegelbaum from Le Diplomat on 14th Street in Washington, D.C.
Wait, we're all ready to tweet. Go.
Right. The North Koreans are going to hack you for this, I'm sure. But
So my thoughts on wine are there are some wines I like more and some wines I like less, but I don't really believe in bad wine. I think with champagne, because it is such a highly governed, such a highly controlled scenario where everything is monitored by a bureau, from harvest limits to how much of the actual grape juice you can use and ferment and how long you have to sell or minimum maximum, even right down to how you can prune your vines.
So they cut it off at the base if they find one.
Right. So the idea is there are so many rules that govern quality that you'd have to be a really awful winemaker to mess that up, as long as you follow the rules.
Right.
So frankly, I don't think I've ever had bad champagne.
So just lastly, so you are pouring the Krug by the glass. Why
Correct.
Did you pick that one? Because that is one with a big name.
Krug. So Krug is really unique. Krug has the Grand Cuvée we're speaking of, mm-hmm. their non-vintage cuvée. Krug has the well-deserved stigma of being one of the absolute best champagnes on the planet. And no, I don't receive a paycheck from Krug, but if you ask most sommeliers, they will tell you
I'd
the same.
I'd be happy to take one. If.
Yeah, certainly. I'll give you my address, Krug. But there's a reason that people go crazy for Krug.
Mm-hmm.
It is done in such a unique way, still within the confines of the laws of champagne. For one, there's an oak presence to it that many other producers won't ferment in oak. But the other thing that makes it more exciting is how long they age it. So the law for aging a non-vintage cuvée of champagne is 15 months. Krug ages in excess of 7 years. Now, put that in perspective, Dom Perignon, which is Moët & Chandon's top-tier cuvée, also ages 7 years.
Okay.
All right. I hate to do this to you.
I know. It's over.
Foodies, but the show's almost over. So.
Wait. So is that the last thing you poured? Is the Krug?
Yeah, the last one I poured is a Krug.
Okay.
I wanted to make it available. It's such a luxury item that most people dream about tasting, and the idea was for the holidays as a treat, let's make it available.
Thank
Excellent.
You.
Thanks.
I hate to do this, guys.
I know, you're mean and nasty.
There's a finite amount of time here. So I want to thank all our guests. This was a great show, and
it
we
was.
Really appreciate it.
Yeah,
everything you
job.
Heard about on the show today, you can also find out about on the list, areyouonit.com, Nikki's mm-hmm. website, where... Only about 40,000 people find out what they want.
35,000.
35,000.
Like, don't elevate it.
I like to, you know, what?
Exaggerate.
I should be working for, you know, these guys. Anyways, and you can also follow her on WTOP today, every Sunday.